Welcome to Podcast One. We hope you'll support our sponsors who bring you these podcasts absolutely free and with limited interruptions. And of course, we appreciate you listening to this show, which will get started in just a second.
We are so excited to be partnering with Everly Well because their mission is to empower their community to understand their bodies better and find solutions for their health problems without the hassle of finding a specialist doctor or even finding time to go to the doctor. They have a test for everything from checking up on your heart health, your incredibly important thyroid, exploring fertility, even home STD testing. Yes, you heard that right. We are all for companies who prioritize learning and health and feeling good. So please, dear listeners, stay healthy and check out Everly Well at-home lab tests and get testing. No more sitting in waiting rooms for hours and hours and hours. No more having to go to this doctor to get to see that doctor. And look, if you need to get tested for something like an STD, maybe you are a little embarrassed to go into the doctor. Maybe get the at-home test first. So don't be embarrassed. Don't sit in waiting rooms for hours. Don't try to pay a premium to go see the doctor. Head to everlywell.com and use code DUBRO to take 15% off your first order. Again, head to everlywell.com and use offer code DUBRO for 15% off your first order. Take control of your health today with Everly Well's at-home health tests.
Podcast One presents The Doctor and Mrs. Guinea Pig Show with Heather and Terry Dubrow. Does it work or is it a crock? No worries. Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig are on the case.
Hey, this is Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig. I'm Heather Dubrow.
And I'm Dr. Terry Dubrow.
And we're here to answer all your questions and chat and whatnot. Oh, by the way,
yes.
Whoever was listening last week and we had sort of a plumber emergency, it wasn't an emergency.
It wasn't?
No, there was just a leak in Max's shower, but not a big deal.
Who called the plumber?
Chris, your brother.
Oh, smart guy. So on Botched, you know, I do – it's what's interesting, I do Botched right before doing Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig. Mm-hmm. So it's like the greatest Wednesday. I shoot Botched with Paul. I teach him how to do plastic surgery. And then I come do –
You're so modest. It's one of the things I love.
And then I do Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with you. It's like – and then we go out to dinner. It's like my favorite thing. It's awesome.
Wednesday's my – by the way, I did a whole Heather's Closet, my YouTube channel – on our Wednesdays, because people always ask me, like, how do you balance it all? How do you get it done? I shove a lot into Wednesday.
Jeez,
yeah, amazing. I get up. I do Heather Dubrow. I come to L.A. I work in the car. Not driving. I work in the car, and then I do Heather Dubrow's World, and then I have meetings for shows and projects I'm working on.
Yes.
And then I do Dr. Mrs. Guinea Pig with you.
Right.
And then we go out to dinner.
Yeah, that's great.
Big day.
So today, this woman came in with gigantic breasts with a problem.
There's a shocker on Botched.
So, yeah, I know. But, you know, the largest breast implants are 800 cc's. Okay, that's the largest silicone. Now, saline also come the largest 800 cc's, but you can fill them to theoretically whatever you want, but you lose the warranty beyond 800 cc's.
Right.
And the risk of a complication goes up significantly beyond 800 cc's. This woman had some doctor put what's called tissue expanders in her, which is a tissue expander is when a patient's had breast cancer and they have a mastectomy.
And you got to stretch out the skin.
Exactly.
Right.
You have to stretch out the skin, you put what's called tissue expander, and you can go much larger because they're designed only to go in for a short period of time and stretch the skin. And she had and then they're supposed to be taken out and replaced with implants once the skin is aptly stretched, right?
But some people don't because they can make them so big.
So she found some doctor to put a tissue expander in her and gave her husband a prescription for syringes and needles and sterile saline and said, here's where the port is, because there's a port that connects to the breast implant, okay?
And it sticks outside your body?
No, it's just underneath the skin on the side of your chest so you can feel it, stabilize it, and put a needle in it. Yeah. So, and that's, of course, that's what a doctor is supposed to do, expand your tissue expander.
Oh, that is, that's funny. I always wanted to ask you that. I thought when you had a tissue expander in there that there was a port that, like a PICC line. That's what I thought. I thought it came out of your body.
No, it's underneath the surface.
Oh.
Yeah. And it's a self-sealing, punctured with a little hole. It's a little rubber thing and it self-seals. Okay. So this doctor gave her the prescription, the tissue expander with the port underneath it.
And said, what, taught him how to do it?
Taught him how to do it, which is a violation on so many levels. You have no idea.
Wow. So she talk about practicing without a license.
I know. So he put in, initially he put in like she had, this was her fourth surgery. She had 800 initially, then 1600. What do you think he went up to? Take a guess.
3,500.
4,600 cc's on both sides, which is 4.6 liters. Now think about a liter Coke bottle. Yeah, a liter Coke bottle. It's four of those on each side.
Now, wait a minute. I remember that there was one patient on botched. You didn't operate on her. You were, like, obsessed with the veins.
Right, Lacey.
How many cc's? How many?
3,200.
So is this the largest breast you've ever seen?
Yes. It's the largest breast I've ever seen.
Wow. Yeah.
And so she had a complication called capsular contracture, which is the number one complication from breast implants. And
on both sides?
Just on the left side. So what happened is even though the skin was super tight on the right side, the left side is the one got encapsulation and got scar tissue formation. And when that happens, it narrows the pocket and it pushes the implant up. So she had a massive, massive asymmetry where the left one was literally in her neck.
Boy, literally? Well, like touching her clavicle?
Touching her clavicle.
Wow.
And the right one was low.
Oh, wait, can I ask a question?
Yeah.
So it doesn't move up because there's no pocket there. So you're saying it contracts and it lifts up. It's not like crawling up her inside of her skin, is it?
It moves up. Think about a pocket, okay?
Yeah, yeah.
You know, there's a thing called the inframammary crease where the breast meets the chest.
Okay.
And the underneath.
Yeah.
It's where the horizontal bra.
It's the place where when we were younger, we used to put pencils to see if we were saggy.
It's exactly where the pencil test goes.
Yeah. Okay.
Now, what that is due to.
By the way, I could hold like a box of crayons now.
All right. Yeah. No, your breast is still very good. But what that area is designed to do is it's a line of demarcation, a separation between your breast and your chest. Okay. And it's essentially a thickening of elastic fibers underneath the skin, and you can't, when you make a pocket, you can push as hard as you want, but you can't get below that. You can't go onto the abdomen. It separates the abdomen from the breast, from the chest. But implants, so therefore, if the pocket's filling with scar tissue and squeezing the implant, it cannot squeeze it down because of the inframammary crease.
But it can squeeze it up.
It can push it up. So the pocket is actually being expanded upwards.
Wow. So it is. Wow.
Yeah. So it's just high riding and sitting up there really weird. So she comes in. First of all, she walks in and her big thing was, you know, I'm a normal mom, but I've got these gigantic breasts. And by the way, her husband was insanely handsome.
Is she pretty? I'm assuming she
was pretty-ish. And this guy, you know, I guess 10 years her junior and super unbelievably good looking guy. He looked like Tyson.
And apparently has
a breast fetish,
and has an adeption to not adeption. He can use a needle. Is what I'm
yes.
trying to say.
Yes,
what's the word I'm looking for? He's adept with a needle.
That's right. So his dad was a doctor. Anyway, so
that's like saying me with my little MD married to doctor, I should be able to wield a scalpel.
I know. So they did this, and now they have a major problem. And she comes in, and she shows a bust.
A bust of her breast.
No, she makes a bust for us of her breast.
It's a bust of a bust.
Yeah, crazy. So anyway, she had a huge problem,
uh-huh.
and she wanted it fixed.
Yeah.
And she was like arguing with me about why she couldn't go, wait for it.
Smaller.
Bigger.
Oh, shut up. She wants to go bigger?
She wants it fixed and go bigger.
Every car comes with its share of stories. That ding in your bumper when you nervously picked up a first date, the luxury package you got after a big promotion, or maybe the mileage you saved by riding your bike all summer. While you can't put a price tag on your stories, now with TrueCar, you can at least find out what your car is worth when it's time to sell it or trade it in. All you do is you go to TrueCar, enter your license plate number, and watch how your car's details pop up. Then answer a few questions. Navigation and moonroof, watch as they bump up your value. High mileage, well, you already knew that one was going to cost you. But did you know how much it dings your wallet so you could plan ahead? Nope, now you will. Once you're finished, you'll get a true cash offer sent in minutes, which you can take to a local certified dealer to cash out or trade in. So when you're ready to experience a better way to sell or trade in your car, check out TrueCar today. True cash offer not available in all areas.
Have we talked about breast implants on this show? We have, haven't we?
No, we really have. We don't talk a lot. It's funny, you know, I thought we would get a lot more surgical questions. I feel like we get a lot of
skincare.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's talk about the most common plastic surgery procedure in the United States.
Let's talk about boobs, baby.
So let me ask you, here's pop quiz, honey. Ready?
Go.
Pop quiz. Let's talk about the top five plastic surgery procedures across the board in the United States. What do you think is number one? Go.
Breast implant surgery.
Number two.
Tummy tucks.
No, that's five.
Nose.
That's three.
This is like Family Feud. Ding. But I have three out of the five now, right?
Yes.
So I have breast, nose, tummy tuck, and I'm missing number two. No, that was three out of five.
Well, number three is nose. You got one, three, and five. You need two and four.
Wait. Breast, tummy tuck, nose. Okay. So I'm missing two.
Two and four.
Heather in the booth is like, facelift? Wait. No, wait. So I got breast, nose, tummy. So lipo.
Lipo's two.
Mm-hmm. And number four. Wait, is it another? Can it be another breast surgery or no?
No, it's not.
Oh, okay.
It's on the face.
Oh, butt. Oh, facelift?
No.
Eyes. Oh, eyes. Because eyes are easy. Because eyes you can do under local.
Pop quiz. What's the number one fastest growing plastic surgery procedure in the United States?
Butt augmentation.
That's right.
That's clear.
So
the year of the rear. I'm so dying to know what these butts are going to look like in 20 years.
They are not going to look good.
Yeah. Well, we talked about it a little bit on the show. We talked about Kim Kardashian's butt and all the pictures that were posted and people were like butt shaming her and all that.
Which is so wrong.
It's totally wrong. But you know what I wish she had done? We talked about this, but I wish she had just been like, you know what? I'm a mom. I'm this age. I look great. I'm super confident. Whatever.
Yeah, but she's all about perfection to a certain degree. You know, the Kardashians sort of portray themselves as being kind of perfect, don't you think?
Mm-hmm.
In many ways, they are sort of, they have achieved perfection in a lot of ways. So let me talk to you about breast augmentation for those who want to know about breast augmentation, because it's the most common plastic surgery procedure. You want to talk about that, honey?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I'm going to say something really kind of weird about breast augmentation.
Do it.
I hate them.
I know you do.
I hate them. Let me tell you why I hate them, and then I'll tell you why I love them.
Okay, and then I'll tell you why I love them and hate them.
I hate them.
Let's talk hate first.
Okay. I hate breast implants because it's the one operation in plastic surgery where you put them in and you do a great job and the patient absolutely is happy about it. And then 2 months, 6 months, 1 year, 3 years, 6 years, whatever, later they go south on you.
They can go south.
They can, and
for
they
no
do.
Reason.
And yeah. If you say to a plastic surgeon, how often is that complication that you're supposed to warn me about, which we do, that most plastic surgeons will say, oh, in my practice, in my hands, it never happens at all. You know, it's such a lie. And the truth is that if you look at the FDA website on breast implants, FDA, okay, they're all about the truth. They don't care about anybody's plastic surgery business and how many cases they're doing, whether they can pay their mortgage to the plastic surgeon. They care about protecting the public, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The complication rate of a breast augmentation is above 20%.
Really?
And
is that the biggest complication? Is that the surgery with the biggest complication?
No question about it.
Oh, it is.
Absolutely no question about it. And so if you think about it, if I told you the number one most popular plastic surgery procedure also has the highest number of complications and will fail in the majority of people who have it done, wouldn't you think that's a crappy operation?
But you would expect it to have the most complications since it's got the highest number of surgeries.
Well, what you're talking...
So the ratio...
You're talking about raw numbers. That's that joke. Not the joke, but the riddle. Why do most car accidents occur within 5 miles of your house?
Oh, because you drive most there.
Right. But I'm talking about percentage risk.
I see.
I mean, yes, if it was 1% and there were 500,000 breast augmentation surgeries done a year, which there are more, that would be 50,000 complications in 1%. But guess what? There's 20%+. That means...
So it's a risk-reward thing.
It's a risk-reward. Now, the reward, I'll tell you why I love them.
Okay.
No other plastic surgery procedure besides maybe the facelift and maybe a tummy tuck does such an amazing before and after job on women who have had who have had children and breastfed, right, have deflational breasts, or who have small breasts and want to be significantly fuller because their breasts are much smaller than they like.
Okay.
So it's incredibly – this is the push-pull of breast implants because it's incredibly powerful. And what it does to the female form is incredibly significant, but it's got such bad risk profile that I can't stand them. Now, for me, selfishly, it has made me a, you know, plastic surgeon of some significant experience because I am known for fixing bad breast augmentation.
Well, that's interesting.
Problems.
I mean, from Botched, especially like you, I would say, what percentage of surgeries on Botched are you doing that are breast problems?
I've got to say 70.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, there's your numbers.
Yeah. And they are the most interesting and most fascinating. And it fits in with the Botched demo, you know, the E-demo, which is young girls.
Right.
Who are in their formative years in terms of social networking and dating and so on, romance. So it's really, really important.
So you have to be informed when you make a decision like this.
You have to be informed, but I'm telling you, you know, if you can avoid breast implant surgery and feel good about yourself, don't do it. I mean, this is from a plastic surgeon.
Okay, but if you have to have it done, let's talk about the different
categories.
So first of all, there's people that need it done. So if you have some syndrome like Poland syndrome, where one breast doesn't develop normally and the other one does, that would call for an implant.
That's right.
If you have cancer, if
That's
you need
right.
a mastectomy, if you have, you know, an accident, anything like that.
Well, you're making the classic distinction between cosmetic and reconstructive surgery.
Correct.
So, right. If you have
But we were with someone yesterday who was telling us they had reconstructive surgery and that had issues and they had to have multiple surgeries after that as well.
Are you ready for this?
Yes.
So, cosmetic surgery reasons for doing it have a complication rate of about 25%. Reconstructive surgery reasons for mastectomies and congenital defects, probably 38%.
Why is that?
Because if you think about it, if you're having a mastectomy, they're often having radiation treatment and you're having skin removed. So it's a much...
There's no breast tissue
There's
left.
No breast tissue. So the breast implant is just underneath the skin and the muscle. And there's much more tension on the tissue. And the body's aware of that. And the body fights that, combats that pressure and forms scar tissue.
And then doesn't radiation make the skin contract?
The complication rate with radiation and implants is the highest. It's the highest. It's probably above 50%.
But when you're in a situation like that, the risk reward is definitely to have the surgery done. I remember my grandmother had breast cancer. Do you remember?
I do.
She died from colon
Sweet
cancer,
lady.
But it metastasized to her breast. Am I remembering this correctly?
Yes.
So she had a single mastectomy, but she was 80, 81-ish, and she didn't want to have reconstruction. But I could imagine, you know, she was, you know, from a different era.
Right.
But, you know, it must be very... you know, embarrassing, debilitating to look at yourself like that and live with that. I would think she didn't need to for whatever reason. She didn't want to. But, you know, I think that I would.
Right. I think that.
Then it's worth the risk, I think.
Then it's worth the risk. And you, by the way, also come into it knowing you're going to need several procedures. So it's no big shock.
Yeah.
But
do they tell you when you're doing reconstruction that, hey, this is probably going to take a surgery or two or three?
Definitely. They tell you that.
Okay.
I don't know that they tell you, hey, your complication rate's really high. But they tell you it's going to take several surgeries. Now, what I find interesting is I when I meet with patients who want their breasts done, I sit them down, I look them in the eye, and the first thing I tell them is something negative. I said, let me tell you why you don't want to do this. Let me tell you why I can't stand this operation, even though I do a lot of it. And I give them the whole story about it's got complications, and it gets hard, blah, 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 blah. Then I operate on them. And a small percentage come in with that complication that I've warned them about, and they're mad. No matter how many times, and nobody is as bold about telling patients about complications before surgery than me.
Yeah.
The patients come in wanting a tummy tuck. And, you know, I look them in the eye, I go, let's talk about a tummy tuck. Because I, you know, my patients at this point in my career, they've already signed up for surgery before they've met me. They want me to do their operation, right? Because they know me. They know that I love this stuff. I'm passionate for it. And I'm pretty decent at it. So I
actually, you're going to get humble now?
Yeah, I'm not getting humble now. But I walk, you know, they walk in, they want me to do their surgery. And so I say to them, I go, let me tell you what the bad news is with this tummy tuck. There is a gigantic scar.
Yeah, you scare them.
I scare them. I scare them all. And if they pass the scare test, then they're in. But if they don't pass the scare test, or they say to me, well, not in you, not with you, Dr. Terry DeBro, because you're the botch doctor. I go, whoa, 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 whoa.
Yeah, yeah.
Hold on a minute. That is not going to work. So, I mean, it's a scalpel, not a magic wand, is what I always tell patients. Mm-hmm. But yes, in my hands, it does magic. That's, there's no question about that. Oh, you're not listening to me, are you?
Oh, I'm sorry. I zoned.
Oh, my gosh. She zoned because, by the way, if you're listening, had she not been zoning, there would have been an eye roll that you could actually audibly hear. It would be like the scraping sound in the back
totally
of her
true.
Head to get her eyeballs back. So, yeah, they expect – sometimes they expect something extraordinary, you know, because of the botch thing. And those are the patients I'm even more careful to counsel. So listen, plastic surgery in the right circumstances is a good thing, a very good thing. But, you know, fox is guarding the hen house, right? If you go to plastic surgery and ask them what they think about breast augmentation surgery, they're all going to tell you,
I love it.
It's the best in sliced bread. And by the way, to them, it is sliced bread. It's sliced bread and butter. It's their bread and butter.
Which is okay. There's nothing wrong with that. If you're going to a good board-certified surgeon, you know, that's why you're going there, and they want to give you what you want. So you just have to do your due diligence. I think you just have to make sure you know why you're doing it and that the rewards outweigh the risk. I know for me, so I started, you know, I think we might have talked about this before, but I had world-class breasts.
Oh, you still do?
No.
They're very good.
Thank you. But not what they were.
They're, you know, they were a 10. Now they're like an 8.8.
Oh, they're a 6.
They are so not a 6, honey.
On a good day when I'm a little heavy.
Go ahead. Pull them
PMS.
Out.
PMS.
Let me look. Oh, ooh. Yeah.
Shut up.
Hold on a minute.
Oh, I'll be right back. All right.
Was that like low,
that was
low brow?
That was
too low brow.
That was gross, yeah. Even for you.
We're taking a quick break, but make sure to check out the wonderful sponsors who keep this show free. Make sure to check out the show description for links to all the deals on today's episode. Speaking on sponsors, today's episode is sponsored by ADT. ADT can design and install a smart home just for you, backed by 24/7 protection. A new smart home at your service, customized for your lifestyle. Explore the vast number of things you can do with your secure smart home. Set up custom automations unique to your home to automatically do things like lock the doors and set the thermostat when you leave. Even close your garage door from virtually anywhere. It'll look like your home even when you aren't. You can control your smartphone with the ADT app or the sound of your voice. So don't worry about installing and configuring your system. ADT is going to do it for you. ADT will set up your home with multiple smart home devices and security features like indoor-outdoor cameras, locks, lights, garage door control, even video doorbells. All controlled from the ADT app or the sound of your voice and backed by 24/7 protection. Visit ADT.com/podcast to learn more about how ADT can design and install a secure smart home just for you. If you like my show, you're going to love House of Kim with Kim Zolciak on Podcast One. The Real Housewife of Atlanta is spilling the tea and helping you believe in your dreams. And now she's doing it twice a week. Tune in to hear her take on motherhood, music, living on TV, and so much more. Check out House of Kim now, twice a week on Podcast One or wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Now, back to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow.
What?
Do you remember? Remember the first time we did fertility?
Oh, yeah, I think we've talked about it.
I don't think we talked about that.
Oh, no. I think I told the story.
Okay, let's talk about it. So the first time Heather did IVF, right?
No, we weren't even doing IVF.
Oh, right. It was IUI.
You were having your sperm
right,
tested.
We were checking to see whether it was you or me.
Heather, have you heard? I'm telling, asking Heather, our producer, have you heard this story before?
No, but I want to hear
it. So when you are infertile or you're having fertility problems, first you have to get checked.
Right.
So I had all these tests, but it's easy for the guy to get tested first.
Right.
Because all he has to do is like have a good time by himself, put a spill in a jar, they look at it. And if it's his problem, you're done. If it's your problem, the plumbing is harder to check.
Right.
So we went to this plays.
Right.
And
in Fashion Island, a good doctor.
It was in Fashion
Oh,
Island?
Yeah, yeah. It was in one of the big buildings.
That's funny.
Fertility specialist name. You ready for this?
Yeah.
Dr. Hatch, of
all
things.
Is that ridiculous? Hatch? Like Dr. Hatch and Egg? So we went there and...
A very good doctor, by the way.
Very good doctor. Anyway, so we went there and they go, okay, well, Terry, we need a sample.
Yes.
And so they open this door. I swear to God. First of all, it's off the lobby, this room. I mean, really? Do we all have to sit there and know what's going on? He opens the door and I peek in and there's like a purple couch.
It's disgusting.
Ew. And there's a TV with like pornos.
With VHS tapes.
It totally had VHS tapes. Oh, my
and
God.
And there's like these magazines, which are sticky.
And gross. And probably gross. From 1932. And anyway, so he's got the purple couch and he goes in there. I'm like, don't sit on that. So, he shuts the door and he's in there for so long.
They give me one of these specimen containers.
Yeah.
And I'm going,
he's in there for so long and I'm out there going, oh my gosh, what is taking him so long?
It's so gross in there.
He couldn't get it together. Finally he opens the door and he goes, honey, come here. So I go running over and I go, what? He goes, shut the door. And I go, what? Like I thought, okay, do you need my help here? Do you want me to like... be your fluffer, like what is going on? And he goes, show me your boobs. And so I go, okay. So I open my top and he looks, and he goes, okay, no, get out.
And it worked.
It totally
worked.
And
like 2 minutes later, I come out, ta-da!
And then they looked at his sperm and he was like, I have superhuman
By the way, okay, they took my sperm sample. And they put it on a slide. And because I'm a doctor, he took me back there to watch.
I got to look at the slide, too. We all got to look at the superhuman sperm.
Hold on a second. And I'm looking at the sperm, and he says, okay, this is a normal count, and yours is above that. And look how well they're swimming. And I went like this.
That was so loud. I think you just pierced my eardrum.
Sorry, but it was a very...
Not kidding.
I was like... walking like cock of the walk.
Oh, he was strutting around, happy. Mm-hmm. He's like, looks at me. Yeah, problems with you, sister.
Oh, yeah. Own it, honey. It ain't me.
Okay, anyway, so back to my boobs. So I had these big natural D breasts.
Sick. So good.
They were kind of fabulous.
Oh, God. Amazing.
There was a producer once that every episode of the show I was on, he always wrote in that I was somehow scantily clad on top taking my top off from behind because it was a sitcom. But.
Yeah. And by the way, I knew exactly what he was doing. And he's one of Hollywood's giant
producers. All right. Let's not go there. Anyway, he was totally appropriate. Nothing ever happened.
Nothing. Yeah. No. Well, at least but that's what she tells me.
Really?
I'm just kidding.
Don't even go there. Anyway, so.
That's because I never let you out of my sight.
That's right. So I had these fabulous breasts. And then we had the four kids, and they sucked the life out of me.
Well, they really did. What's interesting is you
Even breastfeed.
Well, what's interesting, you went through a period where I love you. I'm totally attracted. You always have.
Yeah,
always
I don't
will
care.
Be.
Go for it.
Your breasts were so deflated as to sort of not be non-existent. They were weirdly flapjacky, like the exact reason we put breast implants. And this, by the way, that is the best reason for doing a breast augmentation. The most effective thing to use them for is a deflated breast.
You and I talked about it.
Yeah.
But here's the problem. By the way, I don't feel bad at all. I had four kids and I didn't breastfeed because when I had the twins, we'd been doing fertility for so long. Mm-hmm. And then to have twins and the idea of breastfeeding two of them. And I just wanted my body back. I felt like I was not in charge of myself anymore. And it was the right decision for me. That doesn't mean it's the right decision for everyone, but I'm just putting that out there. There you go. And then I did consider it when I had Coco. And then I just, you know what? I thought it's worked for the other ones. Everyone's good. Moving on.
But your breasts got so massively deflated that you were seriously thinking about breast implants. But I absolutely didn't want them.
No, but we talked about it. You would have done it for me because I remember we did start talking about it. But here's the other thing. I am so allergic to – maybe allergic's not the right word.
I would say reactive.
I am so reactive to so many – that's why when we talk about our skincare line, I always say if I can use it, anyone can use it because I literally – if I get shampooed by a new – if I go to like a dry bar and they use a new shampoo on me and the hair touches my face, I get a rash.
Oh, a button. A button
on
a pair of pajamas.
Yeah, if there's an interior button on something, I get a welt, the shape of the button. So I started thinking about it and I thought – well, wait a minute. What is going to happen if I put a silicone foreign body inside my body? I can't have latex gloves on me or inside my mouth, or I get welts. I can't have anything like that.
Yeah, it's interesting because the patients will come into me and tell me that story. And, you know, as a plastic surgeon based on science, we say, well, there's no evidence that.
But there's no latex in them. You should be able to use them.
But I always tell them, okay, let me tell you what the science is. And let me tell you what my gut tells me. Science is there's no evidence that if you're reactive to various things, that you'll have a greater chance of reacting to the breast implants. Having said that, plastic surgery science is weak. It is weak at best. It's a bunch of private practice plastic surgeons or university-based plastic surgeons who don't have big practices writing up a series that suggests certain things. And so as opposed to a lot of other science, plastic surgery science isn't that good. Now, a university plastic surgeon would disagree with me, but of course he would disagree. I mean, that's how he pays his bills,
right?
By doing plastic surgery.
Yeah. You know?
So it's funny because when we always talk about – there was a period of time where I was very disillusioned with plastic surgery.
I know. I remember that.
I hated it because I thought after all this amazing training that I've had in general surgery and reconstructive surgery, all I do is – liposuction, breast implants, and take bumps off noses.
I remember listening to you talk to your patients and on the phone, and I remember saying to you, you're not happy.
No, I didn't like it.
I
thought it was a waste of time.
But that's one of the reasons I've loved watching you do botch. I mean, yes, I joke about how you're fame whore, because you are.
I'm a what?
Fame whore. And you love watching, you know, marathons on a Sunday of botched.
Wow.
And you crack up at yourself 70 times and fast forward through Paul's parts. I know all that, but here's the honest to God truth. What I love about botched is that I love how you got reinvigorated. And I remember you saying to me after before it even came out, you didn't even know if it was going to work. Before it even came out, you said, God, I love helping people.
Yeah.
Because you started out as a board certified general surgeon, cracking chests open and, and saving people's lives, and then plastic and reconstruction, and then plastics, and then, you know, the housewife that says, well, I like it here or here. Do I like it there or there? Can you move it up or down? Can you do this? And you were so disillusioned that doing botched made you love plastic surgery again, and more importantly, love what you were doing. And I mean, that's all you want to see in your spouse, is that they're fulfilled and happy and excited.
Yeah.
And then you started coming home, and instead of going, ugh, I don't want to talk about it, what did you do today? You come home and you go, wow, you should have seen this case.
Yeah.
Isn't that cool? I love that. I'm so proud of you.
Thank you. I've got very, very lucky. Let's put all...
Well, you got me, so yeah.
By the way, I've been extraordinarily lucky in my life, at every stage of my life. I mean, I've had my ups and downs, but apart from my family, botched has really given me the ultimate gift that I can give back to people. You know, because it gave me a set of experiences and, frankly, a set of skills that I never could have had. And I don't think anybody else really has, except for maybe Paul when it comes to noses.
Yep.
And so it's been really a godsend, to be honest.
Pluto TV is the leading free streaming television service. You can watch over 100 TV channels and thousands of movies on demand, all completely free. Pluto TV never asks for a credit card. You don't even need to sign up to watch for free. Pluto TV is the easy and completely legal way to watch your favorite TV shows and hit movies for free. So what are you waiting for? Never pay for TV again by downloading Pluto TV. You can download Pluto TV for free on all of your favorite devices today, including your phone, Roku, Amazon Fire TV, Apple TV, smart TVs, PlayStation, and anywhere else you stream.
Anyway, but more about me.
Were we done with my boobs?
Yeah. Well, you wanted breast implants for about a millisecond. And it was a millisecond of a conversation.
So what's interesting is I have gotten breast tissue back. Now, I don't know if this is the norm, but I said in our book, Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig, our book about anti-aging, that I go crazy when I hear that women, and I don't, you'll have to tell me if you agree or disagree. I mean, I kind of know, but you'll tell them. That I feel like people rush as soon as they know they've had that last baby and they've lost the weight 6, 8, 9 months out, they go rush to have surgery. And I feel like the body needs time to bounce back.
I agree with you, except your body did something really unusual in that you did have time to bounce back. You would, you know, 1, 2, 3 years, your still breasts were still pretty deflated.
Yeah.
And then weirdly, even though your body...
It was after I had Coco.
Yeah.
That last pregnancy gave me back some breast tissue.
Weird.
I wonder why.
It's so weird.
Huh.
Yeah.
Thank goodness.
So we've talked about breast augmentation. Should we talk about breast health and breast mammography and surveillance?
Yeah, I just had my mammogram, and I got it early because I had nipple pain.
Right.
By the way, you know what I found out, and I didn't know this?
What?
Is that changes in the nipple are very, very significant. So if anyone ever has a nipple change, like color, pain.
Discharge,
anything like that, you immediately call your doctor.
Yeah. The good news is don't be afraid because most of these changes are benign.
Yeah.
Okay. But some of them can be significant. There's no question that the best thing to do for a problem is to catch it early. And these things caught early with new therapies and technologies that we have today are really fixable.
Yeah.
And really, you know, so if you're it's funny because mammography has become really controversial lately.
Really?
As to what age, and it's changed again.
Oh, well, I get it every year. And now I get it with 3D topography. Is that what it's called?
Yeah.
Tomography.
Right.
Tomography, right?
Right, right, right.
Because I have dense breast tissue, which, by the way, doesn't mean you have large breasts. It just means the tissue's
thick.
Dense.
Yeah.
And then because I had this nipple issue, they did an ultrasound also.
Right.
They were very Hogue Breast Care Center.
Right. So
very thorough.
The thing to do is evaluate and ask your family, is there a significant history of breast cancer in the family?
Mm-hmm.
If there isn't, the sort of recommendation used to be to get a mammogram at age 40. Okay. And that's when you first did it, didn't you?
Yeah.
But now they're saying there's a huge disagreement and argument as to whether it should be 40 or 45 or 50.
Really?
Yeah. And, you know, at the end of the day, it comes down to it reminds me of colonoscopy.
You love getting your colonoscopy. You like to be thin.
Well, I like getting my colonoscopy because it's the one cancer you can prevent 100% if you catch it in the polyp stage.
Right, because it's the only cancer that grows from the outside in, right?
Right.
Yep.
So, but not so for breast cancer. But if you get an early mammogram, if you're reading now in Google mammography, Google that, put in news, and you're going to see what I'm talking about, the controversy. And that they're no longer recommending doing it at 40. Do it at 40.
Yeah, I did it at 42. I got a colonoscopy at 40.
Yeah, do it at 40 and do it frequently and tell the people who aren't recommending to shut up because the surveillance is based on the percentage of women or people you're actually catching with the thing. And if it's not a high enough percentage, they don't recommend doing the surveillance. Well, that's fine if you're talking about population saving money. But if it's you and you want to do surveillance early, do it.
I went to Capitol Hill.
Oh, that's right.
Last year.
That's right.
And spoke on behalf of the CRC about colon cancer and
right.
how it affected my family because my grandmother died of colon cancer. And
right.
like Terry said, it's the one thing that you can really, with you know, screenings, you can really prevent.
Yeah. So we've talked a lot about breast, this Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig.
Yeah, it was a boob show.
Yeah, you know, I'll be honest with you, it's my favorite body part. And I love breasts. And it's no surprise that I've become a breast surgeon. And, you know, as Janice Dickens said in the first season of Botch, she goes, "Your mom didn't breastfeed you, did you? That's why you're always so hung up on breasts. You never got any."
That is ridiculous.
Remember she said that in the
yes.
first season? Yeah. Maybe there's some truth to that. I don't know.
Oh, please. Yeah.
Well, now I make up for it because I have my wife with this great breast. So
oh,
there you go.
You're sweet. Oh. Thanks, honey.
You're welcome.
Hey, so we need to wrap it up here, but thank you, everyone, for listening. We're here every Tuesday right here on Podcast One. And, of course, Heather Dubrow's World drops Fridays. And my YouTube channel, Heather's Closet.
My favorite.
On Wednesdays. And, we're going to be doing 2 shows a week now.
Awesome.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. And if you want to know where Terry and I are going to be, or our next appearance, our next talk show segment, go to heatherdubrow.com and everything is listed there.
You're going to do 2 shows of Heather's Closet?
Yes.
Really?
Yes.
Oh, how exciting.
I know.
My favorite.
We're doing product reviews. It's so fun.
I love it.
I love showing what works and what doesn't. That's why I'm Mrs. Guinea Pig.
Yeah, you are.
All right, honey, you ready to go eat?
I am starving.
Thanks, guys.
All right, everyone, take care.
See you next week.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening to Dr. and Mrs. Guinea Pig with Terry and Heather Dubrow. Download new episodes every week on the Podcast One app iTunes, or at podcast1.com.
This week on All of the Above with Norman Lear, Veep star Julia Louis-Dreyfus sits down with Norman and Paul.
Well, you know, there wasn't a script when I was first talking to HBO about it. There wasn't a concept. And my agent had said to me, listen, they're developing this thing at HBO about an unhappy vice president, an unhappy female vice president. And I thought to myself, well, I got to get in on this action because it's gold and it's so amazing that nobody's done it before.
Listen today on the Podcast One app or subscribe at Apple Podcasts or on podcast1.com.